So we're in Advent and we're reading this morning from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to the end. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words to us this morning. Living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, may our hearts and minds be open and attentive to hear your voice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians who need encouragement, Christians who've been dispersed through persecution, Christians who are looking at the world and wondering what's going on and wondering where the Lord is and longing for the Lord to come back as he promised, and perhaps feeling a bit discouraged that it's all taking a long time. And Peter writes for their encouragement. I love that he keeps referring to them as dear friends. He's apart from them. They're scattered, but he writes, dear friends, dear friends. He writes to us through the centuries, writes for our encouragement, dear friends. We belong to this wonderful household of faith that spills through the centuries. As we were thinking last Sunday in our 140th anniversary, with generations of Christians passing the gospel from one generation to the next, all of us part of the family of God, dear friends. And a number of things that he writes about, things that it's like a kind of checklist of things that are true that we need to be reminded of. First of all, he says, don't forget, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. God lives in the eternal present. Everything that has ever happened and will ever happen in history, for God, is happening now. The creation of the world, the call of Abraham, Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, King David on the throne, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Elizabeth ascending to the throne, your Christmas dinner in a few days' time, your next summer holiday. God sees it all now. It's one of those mysteries that it's hard to get our heads around, that God exists outside of time. Time is part of his creation. We have to remember that when we're impatient and we're wondering where the Lord is and where he's at work. He's at work today, because that's the only day the Lord has to work on, is today. He has no other days. He lives in the eternal present. I remember, I'm not sure if this is apocryphal or anecdotal, but I remember when I was at college talking to a friend who had a friend, purportedly, who was still praying for calm waters in the channel for the evacuation from Dunkirk, even though that had already happened. But on the basis that God was outside of time, he thought there was no harm in prayer. I'm not quite sure it works like that, but on that basis, he was praying that the channel would be a flat calm for the evacuation from Dunkirk. I'm not sure that's how it works. But the principle is, God is outside of time, which means that, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. What is his promise? Well, his promise is that he's going to come back. He is going to come back. And we long for that because we know the world is in a mess. And we know that the promise is that when he returns, as we'll see, everything will be restored. There'll be a judgment and then there will be restoration. It's what the Israelites have been longing for 400 years and more through the Old Testament. They were longing for the day of the Lord that the prophets promised and spoke about. And in their mind, in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord was it would be a terrible day because it will be a day of judgment. And it will be a wonderful day because it will be a day of restoration and righteousness. And as Christians, we still look forward to that day, a day of judgment and a day of righteousness. And as I say, Peter is writing to Christians dispersed through persecution and you are longing and hoping and waiting and wondering, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? And Peter says, the Lord is not being slow. He's outside of time. No, he's patient. The Lord is patient. How lovely to know that that's one of the characteristics of God, is that he's patient with us. One of my regrets in my parenting is that when my children were little, I was very impatient and very intolerant and very quick to judge. And I look back now and regret that I was like that. But you learn behaviour from your parents, don't you? And my mother was like that, and I learned that from her, and just you live out what you've learnt before you have time to kind of correct it. Sometimes I was an impatient parent, but the Lord is a patient parent. He's patient with us when we when we make mistakes and we get things wrong. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. That's his character. He's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Remember, there are only two outcomes for every human being who has ever lived: to perish or to have eternal life. Every human being who has ever lived will go to one of those two eternal destinies. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So whoever you are, those are your two options for your eternal destiny: to perish or to have eternal life. And eternal life is found only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants as many to come in as possible. That's why he waits. That's why he's patient. That's why he delays the return of Jesus, because he wants everyone to come to repentance. The gospel message, I so often say, it's good news. It's wonderful news. It's the best news. But it involves repentance. It involves coming to Jesus. And repentance involves humility, involves coming on your knees. John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, Paul, their message always begins with repentance. You've got to recognize that you can't save yourself. You need a savior. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. This is where I really want to get to is this day is coming. So how do we prepare for it? He says the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Jesus in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is teaching his disciples, trying to get them to begin to prepare for what was going to happen in the future. And he begins to teach them about his second coming, the day when he will return. He says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So Peter's reminding the folk that he's writing to, he's reminding us that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. People will be taken by surprise. We will be taken by surprise. That doesn't mean that we can't get ready. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that we need to be doing in order to prepare. And we'll come on to that in a moment. Significant thing is that an end of things is coming and the beginning of new things is coming. So he writes, verse 10, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Second half of verse 12, he writes again, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Now, Christians have had spilt lots of ink over the years trying to imagine what that might look like in practice. The principle is it's going to happen, whatever it may look like, whether Peter's writing literally or figuratively. The point is, a day of judgment is coming, when history as we know it will draw to a close, and there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. Some will perish and some will go to eternal life. That day is coming. And it's like I keep realizing how few days are left now till the 2nd of January when I move. And that day is fixed, whether I like it or not. On the 2nd of January, about 8 o'clock in the morning, there will be a removal van outside my house. And I've got to be ready for when it comes. And it feels like there's a lot to do still, but it's going to happen. It is unavoidable, and the day of the Lord is going to happen. It is unavoidable. So what should we do? This is where I wanted really to pick up the second half of verse 11. He says, "What kind of people ought you to be?" So in the light of the fact that Jesus is going to return, what kind of people ought we to be so that we are not taken by surprise? It will be a surprise, but that doesn't mean we can't prepare. We should be living our lives in anticipation of the fact that it could be today. It could be in 100 years. The challenge for us as followers of Jesus is to live our lives with the expectation, well, it might be today. So how should I live my life in the light of that? What kind of person ought I to be? And he writes, firstly, second half of verse 11, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Second half of verse 14, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Let me read those first little verses again. So he's asking a question. What kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people ought we to be? Live holy and godly lives. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So that's the kind of people that we should be. And so we need to be intentional. And that's the question, isn't it? Are we Are we intentional in seeking to live holy and godly lives? Are we intentional in making every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him? Are we intentional about growing in the grace and knowledge? It is so easy simply to drift along in our Christian lives, especially when you've been a Christian for a long time. It's easy just to get into a routine. Well, I know the Lord. I know that I'm saved. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. And we can just, you know, kind of have our, you know, well, I know I've got my bags packed. When the time comes, off I'll go. There's something more intentional that needs to happen. And the challenge is, and it was the challenge for the early church as much as it is for us, is, well, he's taking his time, isn't he? Been waiting 2,000 years. Well, what if it's another 2,000 years? Well, the reality is, it's not going to be 2,000 years for any of us in this room. And, you know, not making any, you know, just for some of us in the room. You know, we're nearer, aren't we? It's not going to be that long. So, you know, if we're going to be intentional about this, we need to kind of crack on. So let me just say, I ought to live holy and godly lives. When I keep thinking about why the Lord has called me to go to Lee Abbey and why this sort of radical gear change in my life at this age. It's not something I saw coming. And I've said before, honestly, when I went on my sabbatical in May, fully intending to come back in September and carry on. That was why I was encouraged to take the sabbatical. Because a year ago, I said to Alan and Graham, I said, as far as I can see, which just goes to show how far we can see, as far as I can see, this is where I'm going to be. And that's why I took the sabbatical. And then the Lord just spoke to me in different ways. And I keep mulling it over in my head. I know 100% it's what I should be doing. But it's weird when I tell people and they say, well, what are you going to do? And I say, well, I'm going to be a cleaner. So it doesn't sound right. You know, I spent 35 years in ordained ministry. And you know, in lots of ways, it's like, well, let's, you know, press on and accelerate and do more. And yet the Lord has spoke and said, no, I kind of want you to do less, really, or do it differently. And I think I probably said this a few weeks ago, but the thing he's really challenged me about is being ready. He's being ready to meet him, which I don't think means is kind of taking me home a bit early. At least I hope that's not what it means. But it's just this sense of, I just saw my own heart and just saw, I'm so not like Jesus. I'm not as like Jesus as I would want to be. You know, we're very good at pretending. You know, we're very good at showing a side of ourselves that we know is not 100% the reality. And if you saw my, you know, if you heard some of the things that go around my head, if you heard some of the things that I entertain, if you saw some of the attitudes of my heart, you'd be horrified. But then I'd be horrified if I saw what was going on in your brain or in your heart, because that's the reality of our human nature, is we're pretending. We're pretending to be better than we really are. We know we're frauds. And the Lord, he really challenged me. He said, you're too proud, you're too arrogant, you're too dependent on what other people think of you. I want to get you to a place where that's gone. Where actually the only thing you care about is your position with me, that I love you. That's all that matters. And I don't want you to live in such a way that people think, oh, well, you're important because of what you do or the title that you have. So you're going to be a cleaner. So, and for the next 3 years, I know the Lord's got things he's going to teach me during these next 3 years. And it's a season of humility. And I'm excited for what's going to come at the other end of it, because I think there's something more to come at the other end of it. It's a season of preparation. But I want to be more like Jesus, because I'm going to meet him. And if you trust in him, you're going to meet him. And we should all be wanting to be as much like him as we can be. You know, when we're preaching through Song of Songs, wasn't it? It's all about becoming the church being a beautiful bride. How can I make myself a more beautiful bride for that day? Live holy, holy and godly lives. Verse 14, we say, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You know, in any relationship, you know, in all our human relationships, as good as they are, you know, there's always a bit of friction, isn't there? When you're married or when you're very close to someone, there's always a bit of friction, isn't there? There's always things you do and say that you press each other's buttons and, things kind of spark off and in a good relationship, you make every effort to live at peace. When there are those, points of friction and things, you work them out because, you want to be, if you're living with someone 24/7, you want to live at peace with them, don't you? So you've got to work at that, haven't you? And in our relationship with the Lord, let's never take for granted the fact that we're forgiven. We know that we're forgiven, but every day we need to ask for it. Because every day we mess up and make mistakes. And those things spoil our relationship. They mar our relationship. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless and at peace. He's coming to find us. How will he find us? Yes, because of our trust in him, we are covered by the blood of Jesus and we will be found spotless, blameless and at peace. But are we working at that day by day? Verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Are we growing? Are you growing in grace? Or has your growth become stunted? Are your leaves a bit droopy? Is your fruit falling off? Or are you thriving? Think of the Psalm 1 of the trees planted by the river of life that bore fruit in every season. In every season, we should always be growing. Never be satisfied with where you are in your relationship with the Lord. Always be longing for more. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. How do we grow? How do you grow in grace and knowledge? Well, through pressing into that relationship, through worship, through prayer, through Bible reading. How do we learn more about the Lord Jesus? Through reading his revelation, through reading his word. So I just want to encourage us all this morning in this season of Advent that it's so busy and it's so frantic and we don't really, we often neglect to prepare ourselves spiritually for Christmas because we're so wrapped up in preparing ourselves physically and materially for Christmas. But these seasons are so important because they remind us that Jesus is coming back. And that's going to be a terrible day of judgment and a glorious day of redemption and recreation that we will be part of it. We will be part of. And let us be intentional in preparing ourselves. What kind of people ought you to be? Live holy and godly lives. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for a moment and then we'll just have a few moments of quiet. Just an opportunity for our own personal thoughts and prayers and reflections. But I want to encourage you to think about that question that Peter poses. What kind of person ought you to be? How could you be more intentional in pursuing a relationship with Jesus? Lord Jesus, thank you that we look forward to your return. And Jesus, even though we don't know when that will be, we can be preparing our hearts and minds to meet with you. And as we've been challenged by your word this morning, Holy Spirit, would you draw near to us and speak to our hearts and minds? Would you comfort us where we need comforting? Encourage us where we need encouraging? And challenge us where we need challenging. So let's just pause for a few moments of quiet and allow the Lord to speak to us.